Okay, thank you, councillors. It being the allotted time, I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. And in the lovely Jilba weather that we're having out there, we acknowledge the traditional owners of the country on which we meet today, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation. May their campfires burn forever. Announcement of visitors. I believe we have Mr. Brett Jackson, the Director of Asset Services from the Town of Kalamunda, in attendance, and Deputy Member Councillor Ian Johnson from the City of Swan is also in attendance. We welcome you this evening. Takes us to agenda item number 3. Leave of absence that's been previously approved. There is nil. Do we have any apologies? No, everyone's in attendance. Agenda item 3, disclosures of interest. Do we have any disclosures of interest for any of the items in consideration this evening? There are nil. Agenda item 4, announcements by presiding member without discussion. Two things. I think we've got our 2020-2021 annual returns that need to be returned back to the CEO by tomorrow. So if you've not already completed your annual returns, please do so. There are requirements to notify the CCC and other bodies if they're not received. So please attend to that. If anyone has any questions or if they're unsure, if they have, please see Chair after the meeting. Also in front of you, there's a form which is registration for the Waste and Recycling Conference that's coming up from the 8th to the 10th of September. If anyone is interested in attending, please complete the form and hand that in. So the other thing that we'd like to mention too is that there was a public consultation meeting that was held on Tuesday the 24th of August up at Red Hill. In relation to management of our way services up there. It was, by all accounts, a good meeting. I wasn't in attendance, but we received good feedback from the community about the way that we're managing the facility. Some points were raised about odour, as is often the case, which will relate to an item that's before us for consideration later on in the agenda. So just some issues that some of the neighbours are experiencing with odour and the way that we're currently processing FOGO. Agenda item 5, response to previous public questions taken on notice. There is none. Question 6 is public question time. We don't have any members of the public in attendance. Item 7, applications for leave of absence. Councillors, does anyone wish to make an application for leave of absence at this time? No. Agenda item 8, petitions, deputations and presentations. There are none. Which takes us to agenda item 9, the confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting that were held on the 24th of June 2021. Have we received any amendments prior to the meeting? No. If that's the case, then can I please have a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of June be confirmed. So moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Jeans. Is there anyone against? I declare that carried unanimously. Okay, that takes us to agenda item 10, questions by members for which due notice has been given. No, CEO has advised me that no questions on notice have been submitted. Item 11, questions by members without notice. Councillors, are there any questions that are not specific to any of the reports that councillors wish to raise at this time? We're all good. Okay. Item 12, announcement of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. There are 4 confidential report items that are proposed to be dealt with under section 19. Those 4 items on the agenda at 12.1, the Hazelmere Wood Waste to Energy Plan update, 12.2, progress report on the implementation of the MRC FOGO recovery strategy, 12.3, strategic review of the MRC, 12.4, which is item 14.1 of the legal committee minutes of the Legal Committee meeting held on the 29th of July 2021, seeking instructions regarding a legal matter. Agenda item 13, business not dealt with from a previous meeting. There is none, which then brings us to item 14, which is reports of employees. We have before us 9 reports on the agenda at this stage. It is open to us to move these reports en bloc. Councillors, are there any items that councillors wish to remove from en bloc consideration to be dealt with individually at this time? Councillor Jeans?
You're talking about 14.1 to 14.6?
14.9, yeah. Yeah, so we've got
the
9 items there. So
14.5, sorry.
14.5, yes. Are there any other items that councillors wish to have removed from en bloc for individual consideration? Councillor Boyd.
Just a question. Will you need to remove 14.6 if you're going to have to insert names?
Yeah, good point. Thank you. 14.6 and Councillor Jeans. Sorry, did you have a further item or is that just your light on from before?
It was just the only one.
Okay. All right. If councillors are satisfied they've had adequate time to consider items for removal, we then have the option open to us now to move en bloc items 14.1, 14.2, 14.3, 14.4, 14.7, 14.8 and 14.9. Is everyone? Okay, so that is moved. Councillor Congerton seconded. Councillor Johnson, is there anyone against? There being no one against, I put that motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you. Those against, that is carried unanimously. All right, we move now to individual consideration of items 14.5, which is yes, request for tender for the construction of the Hazelmere Resource Recovery Park Transfer Station. Right, councillors, do we have any questions on that item at this time? Councillor Boyd.
Thanks. I'm just wondering if the CEO or someone else could advise how many LGs have agreed to use the waste transfer station upon completion?
So the transfer station development stems from the commitment and the supply agreement with the HRI, and it really was born by that need by the 4 councils at the time, which included Belmont. So now there's 3 councils left that indicated they wanted to use the transfer station. We have had discussions with other non-member councils to use it to capture material for the future, but we can only obviously get commitments from them once we have a commitment that we have the transfer station, and that was basically how we got to the total volumes that we put in the report of the size of the facility to cater for 230,000 tons at full capacity.
So, follow-up question?
Your line of questioning, Councillor Boyd. I'll give you, say, 4 or 5 and then move to others and come back if need be.
That's fine. So just to be clear, it is, while I understand there was some tie-in with HZI through email correspondence with yourself, prior to this meeting, my understanding is the agreement with the member councils involved, the MRC member councils involved with HZI, there is no contractual agreement for them to use the Hazelmere waste transfer station. So given putting that aside, is there any firm commitments from any LGs at this point in time to be utilising it?
You're correct that there's no requirement. I mean, the participants of the HZI agreement could go direct or could go through other transfer stations. However, since 2017, we've been working on a business case and a model, and this has now been revised three times, and it was never brought up during this time. And that's why we continue to pursue pricing. We presented to the September 2020 WEC meeting, which has technical officers obviously attending. It went through the WEC meeting. After that, it was approved by this is the business case at the time. Then it went to the ordinary council meeting, which was unanimously supported. Based on that, we went out for tender. Now we have pricing. This pricing has been included, and the business case has been updated as per the agenda. And based on that, we've been progressing and pursuing the development of the transfer station. It has never been mentioned to us by any of the remaining three participants that it wasn't required. Going to your question, we do not have a firm signed agreement, but because it's a continuing project, once the decision is made to build a transfer station, there's a requirement for a 20-year supply agreement, which is linked to the HZI, to use that transfer station. Because we cannot build, obviously, a transfer station, and after 3 years, one of the participants says, oh, we changed our mind and we're going to move on. So there will need to be an agreement in place that's back-to-back with the HZI to continue to use a transfer station for the duration of the HZI contract.
Thank you for that comprehensive answer. Do you have further questions at this time, or should we pass on to Councillor James?
Yeah, just one more if I can.
Sure.
You mentioned the costing. I note in the report that the costing, from what I can understand, still indicates estimated costings, which makes it very hard for, I guess, anybody to try and make any firm decisions about anything. From AMRC's perspective, are those costings still estimated costings? And if they are, when is it likely that AMRC would be able to provide more substantial costings?
So we've tried to take out as much as the variables as we can, and one of the variables obviously is the building cost. So we've nailed that down. We went for tender. We've got an exact cost for that. So we updated the model with that. And the other costs are really fuel costs, equipment costs, so loaders and excavators, and wages. And these costs have been implemented or have been put in the model, but they have to be updated, obviously, because we don't know what's going to happen with the fuel cost. We have to look at CPI trends. But this is as close as we can get based on the current costing and the current market and cost for fuel and wages and equipment. So it might move a little bit.
Councillor Jeans, did you have questions?
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. I suppose it's just on the business case where it says the capital cost was recovered over a 20-year life period. Should we actually be putting an amount in there to, because obviously 20 years, in 20 years' time, something has to happen, because really that is cost that has to be looked at, because there's no secondary waste charges or no building up of funds in this particular exercise with waste to energy. So therefore, in theory, if the MRC continues without increasing its business and profitability, well then we have to consider that in the future. So
through the chair, I don't understand the question. Is the residual value or...?
Normal operation, you depreciate the asset, and therefore you're actually taking it into account in your in the operating, you can say, business. You're saying here that it's possibly an amount of and whatever it is per tonne. So is that something that we should be building into the charges, so that in actual fact we're actually building up some sort of amount that can be used for maintaining the building into the future, basically.
Through the chair, yeah. Well, first of all, I think 20 years is a very conservative time frame. I mean, a shed, it's a concrete floor and steel beams and a steel roof. This building will be there, more than 20 years. But from a P&L point of view and running the business, we can take that into account and can add it to the depreciation. But it's unlikely that we have to replace the building, and maybe there's going to be some repairs. It's unlikely that we have to replace the building after 20 years. But in the budgeting, it will definitely be included in the P&L.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Any other questions? Yes, Councillor O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couldn't the CEO please help me understand exactly what does the operating cost of around per tonne cover? And then separately, what does overheads cover? In 4.2.
Yeah. Through the chair, I don't have the list in detail in front of me, but the operating cost, that's wages for the operators. And I know these the composition of these costs because obviously we have experience with running the Bayswater transfer station, and this is going to be a very similar operation. So this operating cost is loaders and fuel and maintenance.
Excuse me, sorry.
No, this is.
No, not yet.
Yeah. No, this is not a confidential.
Sorry, Marcus, the business case is confidential as long as you don't detail the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So I'll continue through the chair. That's really a fuel cost and equipment cost and maintenance cost and wages for the operator. The overhead, the site overheads are some supervision. So these are not corporate overheads that are included, but the weighbridge cost to weigh the vehicles. The transport cost is obviously the truck, which we either subcontract out or do internal, which we haven't done the modelling around. That is obviously the truck and the fuel and the driver.
Thank you. A follow-up question. Just trying to understand why the weighbridge would come out of operating and go into overheads.
Yeah. Well, that's how we modelled our P&L now to actually manage our costs. So we got direct cost and indirect cost. So the direct costs are actually hands-on tools, so people that sit in a piece of kit and actually work. So the blue collar the indirect cost, which is the overheads, so the site overheads. That's how we currently manage the business. So we try to separate these costs.
Okay, and I think my final follow-up. You talk about corporate overheads. Is that the process of managing the paperwork and keeping track of tonnages and costs and payments and stuff like that?
Yeah, so through the chair, so the corporate overheads, obviously, that's our business support, the finance team and HR, and that's part of that is allocated to this operation, but it hasn't been included. And that's actually going to be recovered in the EAR, which is another charge that is an admin fee, which is in the participants' agreement. But it's not linked to the transfer station.
Okay, so I have to ask again. So that obviously, is that a per tonne charge as well?
This hasn't been finalised. That's the only outstanding item, I think, from the participants' agreement. So that's, I would guess, with the members, a kind of an open book exercise, and that's by agreement. But it's a per tonne charge, that's correct. But okay. It has nothing to do with the, because this transfer station is going to be used by external or non-member councils as well. The EAR is purely the admin of the HZI contract on behalf of the participants. So it's a separate exercise.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Boyd, further questions?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to clarify something with the CEO with one of his previous questions to one of his previous answers to one of my questions. He indicated that should the he didn't say this, but I'm preambling. Should the waste transfer station be built, that member councils involved in HZI will be, I think, contracted for the next 20 years because it's continuing service. Can the CEO just confirm for me that all member councils will also, in respect to FOGO, be required to take their FOGO via the same facility for, I'm not sure, 20 years or whatever, should this be built?
No, there's no requirement for any of the member councils to go through FOGO. The FOGO was purely done, so the licensing of the 40,000 tonnes through the transfer station is purely done for keeping in mind that we might get non-member councils outside our region going through that site. But there's no requirement, like there's no requirement for the HSI contract to go through the transfer station for FOGO.
Right. So we have a procedural motion before us that we put it to the vote. If there are no further questions at this stage, though, I'm not sure if it's necessary. Okay, we do have a procedural motion before us. Is it seconded? Seconded, Councillor Clark. All those in favour, please.
I have a question. How many votes are required to carry that motion?
Procedural motion, a simple majority, I would have thought. So we've got a motion that the procedural motion that the motion go to debate. Is that what you're asking for? Or that the speaker no longer be heard? Because I guess. Okay. Well, we haven't got a mover or a seconder yet, so I think we will, at this stage, before I deal with that procedural motion due to a lack of clarity, see if there is a mover and a seconder for the officer recommendation that is before us. Do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? It is moved by Councillor Johnson and seconded. Councillor Clark, is there anyone against? There are people against. Councillor Johnson, would you like to exercise your moving rights?
Thank you, the Chair. Thank you, Chair. I think this is just the next step in the stage of what the council has agreed that we will do. So I'm happy to support this motion as it is.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Councillor Clark, would you like to exercise your seconding rights?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Similarly, a number of the documents set out what we're voting on tonight in quite a lot of detail. It goes through the history, particularly linked into... And I'm just double-checking to make, because I know attachment 2 is confidential, so I don't want to read from a non-confidential page, but that obviously it's linked into the history in terms of... I am just double-checking that. Anyway, it has a long history through AMRC in terms of number of councils wanting, you know... being involved in this. I think it's quite straightforward. I think also we would have, you know, it was part of the agenda briefing previously that we've held in terms of the ability to ask further questions. And I think we should, you know, this is part of the MRC building into the future and growing its revenue into the future as well. I think that's important.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Do we have any speakers against? Councillor Boyd.
Thank you, Chair. I feel we have a lot of information missing, which concerns me in pushing ahead with this tender. I feel that we as councillors need more time to consider some of the missing information to ensure that we don't make decisions that will have unintended consequences later. We're about to approve a $7 million spend and we must ensure that we make these decisions knowing that we have all the information before us so as not to be accused of poor governance. I was actually going to seek a motion to defer and I'll tell you why. The administration has set out that a gate fee to use this service will be per ton for the three member councils using it. However, of this cost, about
10%. Sorry, Chair, can I interrupt? I'm conscious that some of these numbers were in the confidential attachment. Is that right or not? Can we just be a bit cautious about what we're putting in the public domain? I'm happy to go behind closed doors if councillors want to do that. But
yes, no, I think, Councillor Clark, you raise a very good point. I also note and would draw Councillor Boyd's attention to the wording of the Officer Recommendation at 14.5, which at no point locks anybody into any position in relation to gate fees or otherwise. This motion, if you read through the six subparts of the motion, we'll see that it is in relation to a construction tender for a shed. So to the extent to which councillors wish to ventilate unrelated issues about gate fees, which may hypothetically exist at some point in the future, I will limit debate. So, Councillor Boyd, please resume. Stay within the bounds of what you can discuss on the public record. If you wish to discuss things outside of the public record, seek to go behind closed doors. Continue.
Yep, thank you. I do believe as CEO that... Anyway, member councillors, if we commit to the construction of this tender now, we're effectively locking in three councils into a process that is still very uncertain. Otherwise, the MRC need to give fixed price guarantee. Furthermore, there are matters in the external environment that need reconsideration of the original business premise. Belmont leaving the MRC, yet the overall design capacity and size of the facility hasn't scaled back. This doesn't appear to be accounted for in the report. The building is being designed and sized at a greater cost to cater for potential non-EMRC councils to send their FOGO there as part of the overall availability of the no approval for the Red Hill to host 100 tonnes of FOGO. We don't have any undertaking locked into any other councils, so what are we speculating with the money that we have no custody for? There has been some discussions around a couple of other LGs, but information that I've received directly is that they are not aware of this. No business case exists for commercial waste to be bulked up here, identifying who future clients would be. I'll make the following observations. The building has three functional areas: waste to energy, FOGO, and commercial landfill, which must keep the waste streams separated. Only one waste stream has potential viability, which is the waste to energy. The building investment is very large and from what may be largely unused until we have proven the viability of the two other streams. This in turn means unnecessarily use of capital funds, and if the secondary waste reserve is tapped into for the proposed contract, Bayswater and Bassendean may be concerned regarding the reduction of the reserve funds in terms of future disbursement of surpluses against the overinvestment of the building with a high risk of return revenue for customers outside the EMRC councils. The participants agreement between the City of Kalamunda, Swan, Shire-Mundaring and the EMRC only requires those member councils to send their residual waste to the waste-to-energy plant. There is no requirement for them to send them to Hazelmere within the confines of the waste-to-energy contract. I fully agree that bulking up curbside residual waste in a facility close to the cities of Kalamunda, Swan and the Shire of Mundaring and having larger trucks ship the consolidated waste to East Rockingham makes more sense than having individual curbside waste trucks delivering from member councils' curbs to East Rockingham in terms of fleet efficiency. Vehicle emissions per tonne of waste delivered and service continuity risks to curbside pickup, i.e. trucks on Roe Highway or Kwinana Freeway, where they may be delayed returning to each district to do curbside servicing. that isn't a dispute. However, if there are other providers on offer in the region that can provide the service, then I'm sure those member councils will be exploring those in good governance. So I hope now everybody can see that there are many gaps within this item before us. I don't see what putting some more time and effort into dealing with these important matters should be a concern. I know the administration perhaps believes that they're now on a critical path that the MSC must commit and construct the facility at Hazelmere to meet the planned date with HZI. Having said that, if it takes a month or two to resolve the matters above, then at the back end of the decision it reached to build a facility and it isn't ready in time, I'm confident that MRC could be thinking creatively and find contingencies such as maybe using Cleanaway Welsh Pool facility until Hazelmere would be ready. In summary, EMRC can firm up closer to actuality the proposed gate fee for the member councils and be more transparent to its members. The waste to energy councils have time to validate markets with other providers and can commit if the needs to Hazelmere building with clear minds and consciences. EMRC can determine the feasibility.
Relevance?
I appreciate your question, Councillor Johnson, but I am mindful that Councillor Boyd said in summary and anticipate her to finish shortly. Please continue, Councillor Boyd.
EMRC can determine the feasibility of the facility size initially for waste to energy expandable over time and other waste streams as business case opportunities present themselves. Taking a less risked approach helps to restore confidence in the EMRC listening to member councils.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. We're at the point of debate now where a speaker would be speaking in favour of the motion, and I'll go against convention practice and exercise my rights to speak in favour of the motion now at this point in debate. Councillors will be aware that when I'm not in this building and am not councillor for the Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council, I'm also separately and additionally a councillor for the town of Bassendean. The town of Bassendean has no use for this transfer station at all. So I say that up front when I say that I am 100% in support of this facility being built in the way that has been discussed for some time. And the reason I'm in support of it is because, as councillors will be aware from the presentations that have come around to all member councils in relation to the strategic review, is that what we're calling it, the strategic review? We have two choices ahead of us, realistically. We seek to diversify and attract additional revenue to maintain our viability, or, I don't know, we die a slow death, we flog all of our assets to Cleanaway and be done with it and go and buy swimming pools we can't afford. This is the reality of the situation. What I am in favour of is a strong and viable EMRC. I'm in favour of providing transfer services for those member councils who chose to be a part of the Rockingham incinerator project. And whatever other views I might have about the wisdom of that decision, I do acknowledge that those communities have voted to do what they did, and this piece of infrastructure is necessary to facilitate the orderly transfer of that waste to that facility with the lowest overhead costs. So for those reasons, I'm supportive of the officer recommendation. I'm supportive of the process that the staff have undertaken. I'm supportive of the contributions that have been made to date by the technical officers of the committee, and think it foolish to, at the last minute, on the day that the motion comes before us, to raise a whole lot of issues that were not previously raised in any serious or considered way. Now, if there are alternative issues that, you know, are really being ventilated here at the inner subtext, if there's, you know, negotiations about gate fees or what have you, or if there's a desire to delay decisions so that, you know, positioning can be made for alternative contracts to truck waste down to East Rockingham. If that's what's really going on, then be honest about it, say it. But if it's not, then we have a good report in front of us that has been well thought through. It serves the needs of our region and it serves the future needs of this Metropolitan Regional Council to be able to diversify and attract income into the future. And for those reasons, I recommend the motion to Council. Do we have any further speakers against? Yes. Councillor O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Firstly, to address, I think, your last point is we all have the right as elected members to raise issues throughout the typical and normal process that we are engaging with, and it's entirely appropriate. I've been on this council for several years, and the entire time that I've been on this council, we have been talking about what to do with Hazelmere. And there have been many, many iterations of maps and drawings and things like that. So while I've supported the idea of developing Hazelmere and going down this path, it's not until we actually get presented with a report to adopt that it means business. Because, I've seen draft after draft after draft, and the figures have shifted quite a bit over the years. Having said that, the figures are in front of us, and I'm not going to quote numbers. However, the CEO did say what hasn't been applied on a per tonne basis yet to the figure we see in the table is the corporate overheads. So just putting my keeping my MRC hat on, we are potentially going to spend over $7 million to build a facility. There's nothing binding any member council apart from goodwill to stay and bring your waste to that facility currently. I understand there's an intention to draw up contracts and lock that in, and it makes sense to do so. However, it makes perfect sense for anyone wanting to get rid of their waste to do their due diligence and look around and see if the EMRC is competitive. And if you're looking at going into a contract, well, you'd want to know exactly what you're paying for, what are the overheads, exactly what is being charged, and so that you can make a decision. And like I said, rightly so, the EMRC would want to seek a 20-year contract. Makes sense. But up until this point, and for several years, the figures have bounced around and no one has landed on anything until we look at what we're looking at now, and we're looking at doing this for $7 million. That's fine. I understand that there is a lot of capacity in the building and the station to service external users, and that's appropriate. I haven't heard anything about the capacity of other waste transfer stations, such as Gosnells, which is coming online in August next year. So are we going to be in a situation where we have all this capacity at Hazelmere, and then suddenly there's more capacity popping up just down the road and just around the corner, and we are going to have to slash and run it almost no profit to compete with other providers, some in the private sector? I'm not trying to talk down this project. I think it definitely has merit, but I think the business case is lacking in some parts. And I'm gobsmacked that we have a motion to shut down debate and move to rush this through. It's over $7 million. And once it's built, I mean, the money's there. Okay, so no one's going to go, oh, well, now we have to put our hand in the pocket. The money is there. And you know, we all paid into it, and it's no loss on anyone's books. But is it still prudent management of over $7 million in the current market with what's happening in the waste to energy space, transport, competitors, the private sector? I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy, or I don't have an undercurrent or some other agenda, but I'm just not confident with what I'm looking at, Mr. Chairman. So, if I suspect, as I suspect, this gets up tonight, and there is a view to seek a contract, I would strongly implore the CEO to go back over these figures and really put some text and some explanations about exactly what you're expecting member councils to sign up to. And if it's all above board, not above board, if it can be tested and measured against what's available and it's competitive, then I think it's entirely appropriate that a contract is signed. So I was going to seek to defer so I can get more information, but I suspect the level of information that I'm after either isn't available or would take some time to find. So I'll vote against it because of my lack of confidence in what's in front of us. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor O'Connor. Do we have any other speakers for the motion? Councillor Congerton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. SON's position is not to sway away from this transfer station. So my vote will be to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you very much. Any other speakers against? Any other speakers for or against? Councillor Jeans.
Yeah, I suppose just to clarify a deferment. My understanding of deferment would mean that the item would come back exactly as it is.
If hypothetically that were the case, but yes, I will avoid dealing in hypothetical things as we have a move in.
It's a real question. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a real question because if Kalamunda are looking for additional information, obviously that information, you know, has to be either put in the motion or for a deferment, or
yes,
the item comes back and we're virtually voting on the same item we're voting on.
That would be true, Councillor Jeans, but as best as I could follow along to the contributions, there were lots of questions about things like gate fees that have nothing to do with this motion. So, and I think those sorts of questions are best ventilated
Chair,
in another forum.
Can I say to you on point 5 of the motion, it says Council endorses a business case.
Mm-hmm.
So that confidential item, as I understand, is the business case. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are endorsing...
A business case, that's right.
The business case here. We're endorsing that in this recommendation.
But a business case is a series of assumptions that underpin a decision.
Can I have a further question?
Yes.
Is someone planning to actually add items which they've been
Sorry,
is Kalamunda considering...
I think on order, we have a motion, it's been moved, it's been seconded. There is a facility for people to move amendments should they so choose. That has not occurred. Do we have any other speakers for or against the motion at this stage? Councillor Dorr.
I'm going to speak for the motion, Mr. Chair. I can't see any specific benefit necessarily in deferring the item. It's a 10-month project. Part 4, if you look in the recommendation, is about adding additional money that was already a $3.5 million or something in the account this year. That's bringing forward what would otherwise have gone next year, I understand, to get the project done. And looking in the business case, looking at the cheaper gate fees, I think that's definitely a net benefit to the ratepayers, the waste levy payers in the Shire of Mundaring, that's for sure. And in all shires and all councils across the EMRC. I'm happy with that, what looks to be a good structure. It's at least 25 $1 a tonne cheaper. We signed up to HZI and the Waste to Energy in the East Rockingham project. We probably need to move it ahead. It's catching up with us. I think it's only 2023, isn't it, when it's supposed to be completed by, and we're trucking down there. Is that correct, 2023? Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I don't see that there's any uncertainty. We've signed up to Waste to Energy and HZI. Not going ahead with this stage in the project, you have to have some kind of a place where you can take your waste to. On the way to Rockingham, our little trucks can't go from Wooraloo all the way down to East Rockingham. It's 115 kilometres, I think, one way, let alone return. So you have to have something in place. And this just meets all the... It's our own EMRC land. It's the appropriate place, as far as I can see, to put a structure there to take the waste. We have to build... Councillor Jeans and I looked at this before also about do we need to build such a large shed, but I get the argument that you have to build the shed in full. You can't sort of half build it now and build it later as you get more business or something like that, because you'll end up with a situation where you'll have to stop the receiving of the waste from the councils. So that wouldn't make any sense either. So that was a concern that we definitely had about that. And you have to build it with the capacity to encourage other business, so I'm supporting this.
Thank you, Councillor Dorr. Do we have any other... speakers against, for, against? Councillor Johnson, would you like to exercise your right of reply?
I would, thank you, Chair. It's absolutely not my intention at any point to close down debate. I'm quite surprised that what I thought was business as usual would create so many questions. You know, as has been referenced as well, you know, Bayswater has no skin in the game in terms of this particular motion, but I'm very conscious that we're sitting here round the table as representatives, you know, as the EMRC Council representing the best interests of our region, and I believe this is.
Thank you very much. That brings to a close debate. I'll now put that motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you, and those against. For the records, show that all councillors, but for councillors Boyd and O'Connor, were in favour of the motion, and Boyd and O'Connor were against. I declare the motion carried. All right, that takes us to agenda item 14.6, which is the Waste and Recycling 2021 conference. As mentioned earlier, there's an application form in front. We have an officer recommendation that will name the councillors who wish to attend those conference. Is there any cap on the number of councillors who can attend? No. So I think as a result of the new transparency and accountability measures brought in by the state government, we're just required to give the names of all those councillors who are going to attend and have that endorsed by council. So who wants to go? Can I deputy councillors are able to attend?
Yes, of course.
Yes, so we have a nomination that Deputy Councillor Johnson, Ian Johnson, not to be confused with Georgina Johnson, would like to attend. If we insert his name into point two of the officer recommendation. Can I please have a mover and a seconder for the officer recommendation? So amended, moved Councillor Dorr, seconded Councillor Johnson. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. And wish you all the best on the conference, Councillor Johnson. I'm sure it will be a stimulating discussion, especially the contribution by a CEO. All right, I think that brings to a close consideration of the reports of employees at item 14 of the agenda. That then brings us to agenda item 15, which is reports of committees. So we have one committee report to consider at 15.1, which was the legal committee meeting held on the 29th of July, 2021. We have Okay, Councillor Jeans has indicated that he wishes to move the officer recommendation. Do we have a seconder? Seconded Councillor Congerton. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Those against? Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Okay, agenda item 16, reports of delegates. There are... Councillor Johnson, what do you have to report?
I went to MWAC yesterday.
Yes.
We had an MWAC meeting yesterday, so we haven't got the minutes yet because they're not out, and I'm sure, I believe there's another meeting if required in September where those minutes may be distributed at some point in the future, but I'm happy to provide a brief update if you like.
Yes, please do.
Thank you. So MWAC was talking about some submissions they've made on right to repair and also we talked a little bit about extended product stewardship rules. So really that idea that, you know, we can fix our things and keep them in circulation longer. So they're doing some good work in that space. At Welga. They've also asked for local government support for the plastic ban, so Beware State Government has announced some single-use plastic bans to be rolled out over the next year or so. There's a lot of pushback from the plastic industry on that, so support for bans of it, and it's mostly targeted at the takeaway food industry, essentially. So Welga is certainly looking for support from local governments in any way that you can to support the phase-out of single-use plastics. There was some talk on the need for solar panel recycling in our state and some interesting issues around bin lid colours because in some regional councils the residents own their own bins, so they're like, want to have their say on what colour the bin lids are, so I'm very grateful we don't have that problem here.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. And the town of Bassendean introduced a scheme a little while ago whereby fast food operators in the town who shifted away from plastic containers to compostable and organic-based containers received some free promotion through the town social media. And we had a very large uptake and it shows just how easy it is to bring about change without spending any ratepayers' money. Agenda item 17, members' motions of which previous notice has been given, nil. New business of an urgent nature approved by the presiding member, there is none. Agenda item 19, which is the matters that were previously indicated to be discussed behind closed doors. Can I please have a mover and a seconder that in accordance with the standing orders and the Local Government Act that we go behind closed doors to deal with the previously announced matters? So moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Jeans. Is there anyone against? That's carried unanimously. Staff, would you please be so kind as to put us behind closed doors? Those in favour, those against, that's carried unanimously. Throw open the doors, which takes us to agenda item number 20, future meetings of council. Thursday the 23rd of September, if required. Mr. CEO, do we have an indication at this stage if that meeting is required? It is required. Excellent. Well, we will see you back here, same bat time, same bat channel on the 23rd of September. Meetings in November for whosoever is in the chamber at that point, and I declare the meeting closed at 7:27 p.m. Thank you.